This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. Baby, you been something mean, supposed to be me, believe. But I told that beats are awesome and that down and be amazing. But enough about me, guess we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would've been kids a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. City mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Ready M, I don't blame us for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy whore.
Hello everyone and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 161 and, you know, we like to keep things fresh around here, around the Trophy Horror Studios, and we like to bring you guys different lineups, and I think this is the first time we've ever had this specific lineup on Trophy Horrors with us today. He didn't really get introduced first a lot, but we're going to do it today. I yield to no one.
Hey, what's going on everybody? I survived Archery Tag Friday, so all is well.
I have to ask, I've never played or heard of that before. What is Archery Tag?
I hadn't heard of it either until about like a month before the Brain 76 was like, hey, I'm going to take the kids up and play some Archery Tag. I'm like, all right, sounds rather interesting. And what it is it's like a combination of paintball and dodgeball, but with bow and arrow.
Painful?
Dangerous. So I'm assuming they're foam arrows.
They're foam tipped arrows.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So
you can't shoot a fucking foam arrow.
You're not using stone arrowheads or like flint arrowheads.
You're not using metal.
And it doesn't hurt to get shot because you can ask the brain. He had gotten hit, so he was eliminated. He was walking off the court. Somebody apparently didn't realize that he was hit, so he got shot in the side of the neck as he was walking off the court.
I think that gives you, like, that gets you a free shot. You earn a free shot if someone does that to you.
So it was rather interesting because I had never shot a bow in my life. So the first game was rather interesting. Needless to say, my team lost. The second game,
but shooting a bow is actually pretty cool.
Second game we lost, but I was shooting a heck of a lot better. So it was really fun. I'd like to do it again. And it was only like $4 a person.
If you ever get the chance, I highly suggest you trying to find someone who has a compound bow and go like hunting with it.
Yield, your weekend sounds so much more exciting than mine because I just went bowling on Friday night.
Drank
and went bowling.
Well, and then also, you guys would appreciate this. It was, I don't know how many teams there might have been. There might have been only about 12 teams. And it comes to find out it was at a church. We were playing outside.
We were
playing outside, and as the night was going on, you know, you can either eliminate the other team by hitting them, or there's a foam target that has got five circles that you can knock. You knock the five circles out, you automatically win. So, as the night had progressed, you got to see that you didn't have to actually hit the foam circle. If you just kept smacking the target, the circles would fall out. So I'm sitting there at the farthest barricade, and I'm peeking out, and I am hitting this target with all I got. You know, I bet I hit it with 12 or more arrows, and it ain't doing nothing. So finally, at the end, all the arrows are on our side. The game's practically over because they've knocked three of our targets out. We ain't knocked out one. I walk up almost point blank because there's like a 20-foot separation. I walk up point blank, basically. One last ditch effort to at least knock out one shot, and I missed it to the left by about 6 inches. Out of frustration, I dropped the F-bomb.
I will drop the F-bomb sometimes at work out of frustration, like on the floor where there are customers.
Well, but it was funny because, like, no one had cussed all night long, so all of a sudden I drop this. It gets quiet, like, everybody's, like, figuring out what I just said, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, hey! And I'm just like, what?
I'm surprised that was the first time that anyone said a curse word, because in competitive play, and especially if you're using arrows, like, I got shot, fuck.
Yeah, they actually say that, like, people who people who, like, use profanity when getting injured or something have a higher tolerance for pain. There's, like, a study that, like, if you curse, it makes you feel, it makes you, like, be able to take more pain.
I haven't heard that before. I've heard something about, like, people who cuss more are generally more trustworthy. I don't know. I saw that somewhere on, I think it was on Yahoo or something. Or it was on Twitter maybe or something, so you can take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to tell my wife that.
Yeah. But we've got a special guest this week. You've heard him before. You probably recognize his voice by now, unless you're a new listener. RC Stash is joining us this week.
I'm here. Have no fear.
I kind of wish, you know, we're glad to have you here, Stash. I kind of wish Tricky was with us also, because I feel like this is one of those episodes where he could rant, especially about the Rangers game, how they're down.
Please,
They're down 0-2 to the Kings.
Please don't get me started.
Oh, you can rant about it.
Oh no!
Trophies.
I am a level 18 with a trophy count of 2,935 and a platinum count of 33.
And Stash, I took the liberty of updating your trophies for you.
Yeah, I got one plat, 891 trophies, and like fucking 12 gold, whatever the fuck that shit is.
You're level 12, sir.
Yeah, no. I have like 12 gold trophies too, like all the games.
Alright,
if you count the golds, which I do.
Of course, we count all trophies. That's why Tricky Mick is able to be on this show, because he has a shit ton of bronze. That's why we allow him on the show, because we count those too. All right, so I'm sitting at level 22, total trophy count of 4,201, and platinum count of 46 platinums in 45 games, excuse me, to be correct. And then guess we'll just jump into what we've been playing. Yield already kind of gave us a little teaser there with his little Simpsons Tapped Out that I'm sure that he's sitting there playing every single show, just tapping away while he's talking. Well, so you know he can multitask.
What game is that again? Is that the one for the iPhone?
Yeah, iPhone, iPad, yeah. I'm playing it right now because they got this stone cutter thing going on, and I'm going to try to unlock everything.
Oh, so they actually, like, incorporate, like, things, like, from the show, like the Stonecutters. Stonecutters was, like, an episode of the show. Was it Homer?
Yes.
That joined the Stonecutters?
Yes.
So, like, it's neat that they incorporate different episodes from the different seasons into the... Is that the first time they've done that, or do they do more of those?
No, I think this is the first time they've done it.
I guess you can only... I guess you can only keep people interested on the core concepts for so long, so you got to kind of add a little fan love in there.
Yeah, you can't... You can't have... Like, The Simpsons has been going on for so long. Like, you seen that Family Guy episode where it's like, Simpsons did it? Like, it's fucking impossible.
Oh, that was a South Park episode.
Oh, I'm sorry, South Park. Where there's literally no fucking way that The Simpsons haven't done it before.
Like, here's the thing about The Simpsons, though, is that they've done it, yes, but South Park was more brilliant, and the creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker were more brilliant when they created South Park, because South Park is all based on satire. It's satire based on real world events, which means their show can go forever. And The Simpsons has only recently started doing that, and I feel like there are a lot of things, because, you know, South Park had their World of Warcraft episode, which is still one of my favorites they've ever done. And then The Simpsons had an episode where they did, like, a kind of board game, like, medieval-style episode where, like, there was a dragon and, like, there were villagers and everything. So I think that Simpsons has borrowed a little bit from South Park, too.
There's everything goes hand in hand. So, I mean, but in general, like, I think South Park just has... I know we're gonna kind of get off topic, but I think South Park just Matt and Trey just like do like wonderful shit with
like
that show.
They're better writers than the Simpsons writers.
Yeah, I mean, but like the thing is too is like you gotta remember like I don't know how they make the Simpsons, but in general like South Park is made the week before it comes out. Like yeah, they make it in a week. So, like, there's no possible, like, that's how they get, like, current event shows and, like, all that shit, because they can afford to do it.
Well, I mean, surely there's enough people working on The Simpsons. They've made enough money off that show, and the contract from Fox is wealthy enough where they can hire enough people to pump the shows out in a somewhat similar time frame.
Yeah, well, you gotta remember, too, like, it's also to the point of, have we, like, at that point, you have to remember, have you done this before? You know what I'm saying? And don't forget, too, like, Comedy Central is a different network than Fox. Like, you can get away with a lot more shit on Comedy Central than you can on Fox.
It's true. It's true. All right, well, so anyway, Yield, what else have you been playing?
Well, besides Simpsons Tap Out, I've been playing some Uncharted Golden Abyss and some Sub Wars on my Steel Divers Sub Wars on my 3DS, and that's really about all I've played this week.
Playing out, is that the Steel Diver game that came out at the very beginning, or was this just like a new, like a sequel or an add-on?
It's kind of like a... I think it just carries the same name. It's a sub game, but I don't believe it's a sequel, because they gave it away free. Somewhat, it's kind of like an extended demo. There's a couple of missions that you can do that's got all three levels, or it's not all three levels. There's a couple of missions that you can do that's got three different levels of difficulty, and then. I think you can get some of the multiplayer. I didn't dive into that any. And then if you want to experience what they call the full version, or the premium edition, I'm sorry, then you can pay $10.
Is that all?
Yep, that's it.
All right, I've been... My game playing, as people have probably noticed, it's not... I don't go for all the big sexy titles, the AAA titles, much anymore. Tricky Mick has been hounding me to get Watch Dogs. Not something I'm really interested in. I've been playing... some Fruit Ninja on the Vita, and I'm sure some people saw that Yield, I know you saw that, me going back and forth with Tricky Mick, me and Tricky playing some online games of Fruit Ninja, and then after I beat him in our series, which was very close, by the way, him claiming on Twitter that I beat is his 5-year-old playing instead of him, which I guess we all kind of expect from Tricky, to make excuses.
I don't know why you participate in any type of competition with him.
Well, I kind of needed the Fruit Ninja trophy, and, like, he went out and bought the game. Granted, it's only $5, but there's one trophy where you have to play online with a friend, invite a friend to an online game, and then win. So he bought it. I told him not to do it. I can always find someone on PlayStation
trophies. I mean,
trophies.
It doesn't even matter. Like, it's not even that good of a game. I think I paid 99 cents for it on my iPhone, and I never played it.
I think it's kind of fun. It's one of those games, you know, where you just constantly try to up your score.
Oh, no, it's a fun game, but me personally, I didn't really enjoy the type of fun it gives, I guess.
I got you. Me and one of my friends, I had taken a friend out with his daughters to Gaddyland, which is one of those all-you-can-eat pizza buffets. And they've got a game room where you can play games, and Fruit Ninja is one of the games they have there now.
Hey,
so.
That's fun on a giant TV.
Yeah, so I went home as kind of, I'd like to play more of that. I knew it was on the Vita, so with the touchscreen on the Vita, it's pretty cool. So,
is there a platinum?
Some of that. No, there. You can S rank it. You can get 100% of the trophies. There's only one gold trophy though, but so I S rank that, and then. I've been playing some Awesome Knots, one of those games that was free for PlayStation Plus way back when. Picked it up, tried it at first, didn't really like it. But as you all know, if you've been listening to the previous episodes, I'm going back trying to get 100%, and a lot of my games that I didn't quite get so far in. This was a game that I played 5 minutes before and just quit, so I had 0%, so I'm going to try and S-rank that too. Hopefully I can get some of the people from the show, like Yield and Tricky, to play it with me, because playing with bots kind of sucks. And then I've been playing another game, another free game on PlayStation Plus called Surge Deluxe. If you don't get the big theme here, I'm mostly playing free games. I don't buy games too many. This, with the Order 1886 being delayed until next year, this may be the first year in a long, long time that I have not bought or will not buy a AAA retail game.
You didn't buy Watch Dogs, I assume?
No, I'm not. I'm probably not going to buy Watch Dogs unless Tricky Mix. Well, no, I'm not going to buy it anyway, but unless Tricky Mix sends it to me, I don't want to. I don't really want to play Watch Dogs.
I'm waiting until I get my PS4 to pick it up.
Yeah.
I would definitely say do not get it on an old gen console. It's not. I mean, I feel like you don't really get a feel for how open the world is with the last gen. And I feel like, too, like, I think the game might load, like, way too slow for my personal taste. Because it doesn't take a long time to load for PS4, but, like, you could tell that if it was on, like, a older system, you'd be sitting there sometimes. Because it's like Grand Theft Auto, like, you load in the one time.
My only thing against open world games is that they kind of give this veil, like they have this idea that you can go anywhere and do anything you want. And I feel like the idea, the notion behind a sandbox, at least from what we've seen so far from games like that, it's really impossible to actually give the players the chance to go anywhere and do anything. Because when you think about it, like, yes, you have a big city to roam around, but when you play those games, I mean, what really do you do in those games? Run around, shoot people, do missions. I mean, I just don't think that those games have the freedom that they kind of seem to market. You know, they market this big sandbox open world, but I don't think it's as free and as open as a lot of people think. Or as they try to posit, so. And maybe that's just me. I mean, I haven't played a Grand Theft Auto since Grand Theft Auto 4, and the last open world game I'd say I played was Batman Arkham City, so, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of the impression that I get. It's not quite as open and, you know, do anything you want as you know, as some people might think. So, Stash, that will bring us to you, and I imagine that Tricky and Donnie covered Watch Dogs last week, but you've already beaten it. Obviously, we don't really want any spoilers, but what are your opinions? What's your thoughts on Watch Dogs?
I think the game in itself is, like, really, really good, but there's a certain degree of good. Like, it really honestly depends on what you want out of something. And I honestly believe that for an open world game, it's good. The one thing that I know me and my buddy Paul were talking about is the music in it is just abysmal.
Like, do they have, like, some music that just doesn't fit within
the
world?
None of it fits. None of it fucking fits. Like, it's just not good. Like, they got, like, song, like, you know, when you're playing Grand Theft Auto, right, and you're playing the new one, and you're in the car. Now, I understand this is going to sound stereotypical, but if you're in the car as, what was the black guy's name?
What, on Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah.
Franklin.
Franklin, yeah. If you're a Franklin and gangster rap comes on and you're driving around the hood in the game, it makes sense. Okay? It like, you know, especially if you don't mind that type of music, it makes sense. Like, it fits the motif of the game. In Watch Dogs, they have, like, there's Kid Cudi music. Like, it makes no damn sense. Like, I understand, like, it can't have, like, a theme. You know what I mean? Like, there's no theme for the game. Like, you're not gonna have, there's no, like, hacker theme music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in general,
electronica.
Yeah, but there is some games like that. There's some music like that, but, like, in general, though, it's just, the music just doesn't make any sense. They have, like, a bunch, it's either the music's really old, or the music just doesn't make sense, or it just doesn't mesh well, you know?
No, I can see that.
And it sucks for it to be like that, though, because other than that, I feel like the game is, like, a great, like, other than, like, the music is really good. Like I was telling you before the show, I think the side missions are really good, but if you don't care about them, it doesn't matter. Like, you just don't have to play them. And it's not going to hurt you unless you're trying to do, like, trophies or, you know, some shit like that. So, I mean, it's all in all, it's relatively good. I would give it, like, a middle of the pack. You know, people have been giving it on websites, like, eights or some shit like that. That's probably what I would give it. But, yeah, I've been playing that. I've been playing a little bit of, like, random free-to-play games on PS4 and PS3. Like, I played Trine 2, The Complete Story is free.
Oh, that game's awesome.
I've been playing that a little bit. Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate was free, so I played a little bit of that. And then I played NBA 2K14 is free for PS3. So I started that game up. I played it for like 15 minutes, and then I stopped.
Is it any fun? Because I am downloading that as well right now.
I mean, do you like NBA games?
I mean, like, I enjoyed NBA 2K. Like, the last really NBA game I played was probably, like, NBA Live, like, back on the first one that came out for the PlayStation 3. So I don't really buy them that much. I mean, like, I can have fun with them, yes, but I don't really buy sports games. But I did enjoy the hell out of, like, NBA 2K1. So, I mean, I can play them. I'm just not going to spend $60 on them. So if it's free, you know, I'll play it.
No, in general, it's okay. But, like, if you played, like, previous NBA games and you enjoyed them, then it's all well and good. I think you'll more than likely enjoy it.
I mean, I guess I've got nothing to lose, so I mean, why not?
Yeah. But I played Castle of Illusion a little bit, and it's a really good game, and I enjoy it. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's a reboot, you know, made into a 3D world, which is, you know, fine. So.
Yeah, I do have the Genesis version, or was it the Genesis or the SNES?
Genesis.
Okay. They made it for both, but the one they actually sell on PlayStation is the Genesis version, because Nintendo obviously wouldn't give them rights to do that.
Yeah. So I do have that. I do have that on my PS3, and I already beat. I got the S rank on the Castle of Illusion, the reboot or the remastered version. I'll probably play that at some point. I didn't play it as a kid, so it only makes sense for me to play it at least at some point.
Yeah. I was telling you, I really wish they came out with World of Illusions, because that was when they had, when they tried, they didn't actually, like, throw stuff at people. In that one, in the beginning, you had, like, this, like, magic, like, I don't want to say it was cloak or something, but it was, like, just this magic thing. And it was, like, a, I guess, like, a cape, but it was, like, a cloth. And, like, the way you defeated monsters, you threw the cloth at them, and they, like, transformed and shit. It was pretty cool. Old school shit, though, but it's cool.
Nice. We, you know what? We respect and we love our old school around here.
Well, you gotta love old school. That's where shit came from.
Respect the old school. So, I guess we'll head into our news. And this first kind of thing that we got is, I don't know if we can really call it a topic, because I don't really know how much we're going to talk about it, but you know, obviously, you know, you guys feel free to comment on it if you would like. Recently it's come out that Arkham Knight, the new Batman Arkham game, is pushed to 2015. It was originally planned to come out this October. No reason's really been given for why it's been pushed back. I'm assuming more polish. They're going to need more time to make the game. Would seem to be the obvious choice. So Arkham Knight, we won't get it until 2015. Anybody really upset about that? Kind of worried about
it? Well, no, I'm not ultimately upset about it, because it's next gen, or, well, actually this gen, and I haven't upgraded yet, so I'm not totally upset. But as long as they're, you know, it's Rocksteady, shouldn't be too worried, but as long as it's, you know, it's for the better of the game, you know, that they've, you know, polishing, making it run smoother. Because, I mean, this is Rocksteady's last go at Batman. The last you want is it to kind of fall on its face. It's got to run on all cylinders.
You don't want it to flounder. That'd be the worst thing that can happen.
I mean, that you don't want people to, you don't want that game to come out, and then as you're moving on to your next, you know, IP, you don't want to come out and then and then come out and go, yeah, we wish we'd done better with Batman.
And let's not forget that this game is supposedly twice as big as Arkham Origins, which was itself twice as big as Arkham City. So maybe them trying to recreate the world or make it as big as they want it to, maybe it's just they got to put it in the oven for a little longer. So
I'm fine.
So I'm
fine with that.
Yeah, as long as they end up with a better game, the game that they want, the game that we're expecting, yeah, no issues with it.
I'd be more worried had we been, you know, a week or two from the game getting sent off to be, you know, mass produced, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're going to delay it.
Yeah, yeah. At least we're still quite a ways out until,
you know,
it was supposed to be
out what?
October.
Oh, is it October? So yeah. So it's I'm glad that they're seeing now they need more time.
All right, fellas, we got another game here. It's quite a ways away at this point. Probably definitely won't see it next year. And Naughty Dog's not ready to share the details yet, but they have confirmed that they are in the early pre-production stages on a new game that is not Uncharted 4. I saw an article on IGN, they're kind of wondering, you know, people obviously are asking, is it The Last of Us 2? Right now, Naughty Dog isn't talking about details about the project, but they are saying that they have a second game in the works. It's a ways off. They only have concepts at this point, but something that obviously it will give some fodder for the message boards, give people a chance to talk about it. Would you guys rather see The Last of Us 2, or do you guys want a new Naughty Dog AAA game?
I would prefer a new Naughty Dog AAA title. I mean, as much as I love The Last of Us, I really don't want to... I don't want to burn that series out. It left itself, in my opinion, it left itself open for a sequel, but I was fine with the way the game ended as is. The only way I could see going back to The Last of Us would be like if you went like the other side of the country and did a story over there, kind of, you know, the same universe but different people.
I actually feel like they shouldn't go anywhere near that same timeline. I feel like they should just go something like a prequel. It would probably boost what people think about it. And, you know, everyone wants to know how. You know, like, everyone wants to know how, oh, how did this happen? I mean, they mention it in The Last of Us, but, like, imagine just playing through, like, the initial...
Kind of like with seeing everything before the downfall.
Yeah.
Like, because I think that, and hopefully I'm not wrong, but Bioshock 2. Oh, that was... No.
You're thinking of... Bioshock 2 was before Bioshock 1, yes.
Yes, okay, so you got to play in Rapture before the fall.
Yeah. Well, it was at the time of the fall.
Okay, and
before
you also...
Before the fall of Rapture was the DLC...
No, was it the multiplayer? It was the multiplayer mode that you got to play before. Because the end of the multiplayer, once you reach the top level, once you've maxed out your character... what happened was basically right after that, the events of the first Bioshock happened. Yeah. Okay. So it's cool to get to see, I agree with you on that, Stash, because I would like to see the world before everything happened, but I want to see what else Naughty Dog has, because if Naughty Dog had just kept going, they didn't, you know, with Jack and Daxter, Crash Bandicoot, we wouldn't have never gotten Uncharted. So I want to see what else they can come up with. I want to see a completely new AAA game on the scale of Uncharted, but I don't want to see it be anything tied to The Last of Us or Uncharted.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, when Last of Us ended, I guess maybe I'm one of the few, but when it ended, I'm like, you know what? This is perfect. Don't mess with this.
The thing about that game, that ending was, it was so real. Like, it wasn't one of those... you kind of got a little bit of the Disney ending, because, you know, it was kind of like a happy ending, but at the same time, it was a real ending. Like, I would sit there and I could say I would do the exact same thing he would do. It may be kind of selfish, and it may not be the best for mankind, but I would have done the exact same damn thing.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, I thought it was perfect. I thought it was a fantastic way to end that. And I think that doing anything else, I think it's adding too much. I think you're trying to...
Well, you could always go where he was saying, like, you know, put, like, an addendum to the story and be on, like, the other side, you know. But even then, though, what are you really going to do? Like, when you're in the same timeline and, like, there's someone, like, available to, like, I don't know, technically save the world, you know, that's a revolve-around story there. And it's really difficult to almost give like, the story to something else. Like, what do you, like, you know, I guess you could be like, oh, I work for the corporation, you know, or, like, the military. You know, like, the people that are protecting the towns. I guess you could try to do a story something like that, but, like, in a faraway place. But then again, you know, then you're going, like, some Resident Evil shit. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm a cop in post-apocalyptic world. Or, like, you know, in disease-infested world, you know?
Sometimes I think it's better to just let gamers... Yes, you can flesh out the world more, But sometimes it's just better to let us be creative and kind of create our own stories. Because there are 1,000 different stories you can come up with for how everything happened and how people were before and, you know, the relations that were created before the outbreak and the infection. But sometimes it's just like, you know what, let's leave some of the mystery there. Let's let people kind of create on their own. And let's just move on to something else. Because, you know, it's not always, you know, I do like details and, you know, I like single player games, so I kind of like to be led places by game creators. But
you like being led on a journey. You like having a journey through a game.
But I also don't like to have every single journey spelled out for me in black and white. Like,
so like, do you like the picture? Do you like your picture on adventure stories?
I mean, like, kind of like Shadow of the Colossus is a great example because that game, there's so much mystery surrounding that game. You can sit there and make, you know, just assume, like, okay, this is how they got there. It ties to Eco, yes, but I think that world is such a mystery, and and that's one of the nice things about it. It's just you don't know everything about it. There's some kind of, I don't want to, sexiness is not the right word, but there's some kind of intrigue there that keeps you, you know, that you can talk about it, and you can kind of create your own stories, and you can postulate about things that are happening and what's going on, why that world is the way it is, and what really that is at the heart of that character's decisions. Yes, I like having things created for me and experiencing things the way the game creators were expecting me to experience or wanted me to experience it, but I also like to have some kind of liberties where I can kind of, in my own head, say, kind of be left in the dark a little bit about the way things are. And maybe that's just me. I don't know. Yield?
Yes.
I'm glad that you agree with me. It makes me feel better.
Sorry, I was reading.
It's all right. Were you reading about the PlayStation 4 Vita Ultimate Player Edition bundle?
I was reading on my Vita. Does that count?
Unless it's about the topic, no, it doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Then it doesn't count.
All right, so it looks like Amazon France, or at least in France, they're going to release an Ultimate Player Edition. I don't know if that's the exact name, but essentially it's a bundle with the PlayStation 4 console as well as a Vita. As you can imagine, it's going to be quite pricey. I think the equivalent of CAD in dollars in France is, let me see here, $789, about $790 in France, translated into dollars.
That doesn't sound hateful. And, well,
I mean, I guess if you add the price of the thing is like, if you're going to buy this bundle, like it's like they're trying to obviously get the Vita in more hands, so they're trying to bundle with the PlayStation 4. So you've got to take a loss on that, a pretty decent sized loss on that, because if someone doesn't want, if there's such a premium price over the regular PlayStation 4, people are going to be like, well, fuck the Vita, I don't want that bundle, it's too much. I'm not paying close to $800 for a PlayStation 4 and a Vita console that I might only occasionally play games on.
Well, see, the thing is, and we've made this complaint or argument many times, I mean, they've basically taken the Vita and turned it into a glorified controller / gamepad for the PS4 instead of just continuing to make games for it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so in France, that price comes from, if you add together the cost of the Vita and the PlayStation 4 in France, if you add those costs together, it's the exact same. It comes out to the $789.
Yeah, there's not really a big bundle deal.
So, until we see it in North America, obviously, the story is essentially that there was a Best Buy flyer, an ad, that had a picture of the bundle. It says bundle and save $559 for the Vita, Borderlands 2, and PlayStation 4. I think that's it's a Borderlands game. Borderlands 2 for the Vita. So you get Borderlands 2 for the Vita, and the PlayStation 4. It looks like for less than $600, $559. So let me ask you, knowing that, would you guys pick up that bundle if you didn't have a Vita?
$800?
Well, no, it's $559.
$559? So it's an extra
Almost $200?
$200, $250. at this time with the current games that are out for the Vita, you know, I probably would not.
Okay, so hold on. How much does the PlayStation 4 cost right now?
PlayStation 4 is $400.
Okay, so it's only about $60 more.
Yeah.
And you get the Vita and Borderlands 2.
And Borderlands 2. So it's another $160. Yeah, I'd probably not get it.
I mean, to put it in perspective, it's less than a PlayStation 3 when it first came out.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot less than a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, because is the Vita still
$250? I haven't priced one in a while, but I believe it is. Or the older ones may have gotten a price cut since... Or if they haven't gotten a price cut yet, they'll get one next week since the Slims just came out.
Okay, well, I mean... I guess nothing has been official yet because the circular, the ad, was submitted to IGN by a reader. So nothing has been officially announced. And IGN points out that they wrote about the bundle back in November 2013, so last year, and it never really came to fruition. So as of right now, it does seem like that whenever you see a circular like this, it generally comes true in the end. But as of right now, it's coming to France, and I really, to be honest, I can't imagine that they wouldn't bring it to the U.S., but at this point, it's still kind of up in the air. But, you know, the Vita is one of those things that I got as a gift, and I do enjoy playing games on it. I went to my uncle's wedding yesterday. There was a car ride, and, you know, it was only an hour-long car ride, but I brought my Vita with me and played some Surge Deluxe. I do enjoy the Vita. I do enjoy playing games on it, and I sometimes I play it at home. But you know, for that much money, like I'm not buying the PlayStation 4 because, quite frankly, if I could find it out in the wild, in the retail wild, I'm not buying it because I don't want to spend $400 on it right now. So to be honest, asking me to pay more for the Vita and the PlayStation 4, even though it seems to be a good deal, like at this point, I'm holding off because of cost. So putting them together right now isn't really something that I myself am interested in. I kind of see that Sony's in a hard place because they're trying to get the Vita in hands of more people, but at the same time, it's like, are people really going to want to spend that much money right now? And if you wait too long down the road, like when you can lower the price on the PlayStation 4, is it too late for the Vita? I mean, is this something where is this kind of like a last-ditch effort for the Vita?
I don't think it's last-ditch effort, but I certainly think that with the Vita, there isn't a lot of wiggle room, and I feel like the only way that they're going to really push it out is if... Because they came out with Borderlands. Did Borderlands come out for the Vita? Yeah, it came out already, right?
Yeah, I believe.
Yes, so they're bundling an older game with the Vita.
Yeah, it's Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2, yes.
Yeah.
And that kind of confused me because I was like, wait a minute, it's Borderlands 2? Because I know the pre-sequel's coming out in October.
Yeah.
But, like,
a AAA title that they're trying to bring to the Vita, but it's an old AAA. They need to have some type of synergy with, like, alright, remember how, a lot of games used to be like, oh, it's out for this, 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 and then like a handheld. Like, I think it was like the original DS or something where like a game, like, you know, like the Lego games. The Lego games come out in like multi-platforms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every platform under the sun. I think they made some for the Dreamcast too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when you have games that are, like, you need one big, either like AAA title that's like, a single title that's only for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a AAA title that's an exclusive. That's a really good game. I feel like if you get something like that on the Vita, like, you get, like, a fucking Mario type shit. I'm not saying it's gotta be... Because, I mean, Uncharted is a good game, but it's not a system seller. You know, they have, like, Final Fantasy Reboot. That was good. I actually have it on the Vita. It's good. But it's still an old game that they just polished. Then you had, like, Gravity Rush. Gravity Rush was a really good game. But it wasn't a system seller.
Well, you also can't, you know, come out with those games at launch and then, like, have your support for the system die off.
Yeah, like, It was just they had it has potential.
Oh, it's a great system.
Yeah, I mean, like I have a limited edition one. I have a white one, and the thing is like it has so much potential, but is the market real? Can you imagine if there was a fucking Pokemon? Not like obviously it's a Sony product, but can you imagine if there was a fucking like Pokemon game that was on like those PS2 graphics in your on a handheld? That would be insane. Like something like that. You need like a fucking Pokemon or like a Luigi's Mansion, like something that will get the like catch people's eye.
I love that you mentioned Luigi's Mansion, by the way, because I'm a huge fan of Luigi's Mansion. That's got a soft spot in my heart. But you know, Sony with PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale, which is on the Vita as well.
They tried to
kind of copy the concept of Super Smash Brothers. And so who knows? Maybe they might kind of somewhat make their own Pokemon.
A lot of the one thing that...
Go ahead, Stash.
Here's the thing that really, really makes Nintendo's handhelds work for them. Is because those handhelds are kid-friendly. And that's what the Vita isn't. The Vita isn't kid-friendly. Do you know why like little kids like handheld shit? Because they can bring it fucking everywhere. And guess what? Guess how Nintendo makes more money? They're kids, and they fucking lose it, and then the parents have to buy a new one. Like, literally, all they need to do is, like, try to market more to kids. I feel like getting a AAA title for, like, the adults like me and like, a couple people that we know that have Vitas, and, you know, that would give us more incentive to purchase games for the Vita. And then also... getting something in there for, like, a kid. Because that bundle that you're talking about, that big bundle, guess who wants that PS4? Daddy does. Daddy wants PS4. Guess what the kid can get? The Vita. And guess what the kid can get on it? Skylanders or something? You know, some shit like that.
Well, they did just announce, I think they did release the Sly Cooper collection. Granted, they're older games, but they did release the Sly Cooper collection, which are kind of, that game series that can toe the line between adults and kids.
But I mean, like, the thing is, too, I'm going to let you talk.
Okay, go ahead.
One more final point. The one reason why the Vita is having so much trouble, too, is because Sony never had, like, they had the PSP. But the PSP was a great console, and it's like, fucking bananas in Japan. Like, that, everyone got a PSP in fucking Japan, you know what I'm saying? But they lost the U.S. market so long ago. So, when they lost the U.S. market because there wasn't a lot of kid-friendly games with the PSP, I mean, that technically there was, you know, like the Spyros and shit like that. But when you lost that market, and Nintendo just took that market and, like, put a fucking rocket boots on and fucking ran with it.
Well, to be fair, Nintendo's always had that market because ever since the Game Boy.
Yeah, Nintendo's always had the market, but, like, the only time that really Nintendo's, like, shined with that market before, like, the DS was Pokemon. That was it. Like, name other, like, Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance titles that, like, were really... Well, I guess Game Boy Advance had, like, the Mega Man series, like, the BattleNet, and, like, a lot of the Mega Man stuff. But, like, other than those type of titles, and, like, those really quirky titles that, like, you know, they have... Like, they used to have all the little Game Boy Advance game titles. Other than those, like, there wasn't really much. So, if at that time, it was a long time ago, but, like, Sony's literally playing catch-up. That's exactly what they're doing. And the problem is like, I have two nephews, right? Both of them have a DS. Neither one of them has a fucking Vita. You know? You gotta, like... Either you bribe the parents to buy this bundle and give their kid the Vita, or you find a way to sell the Vita to a majority of audiences that will use handhelds. Because people my age, your age, Yield, I don't know how the fuck old you are, but I'm assuming you're above the age of 25.
Yeah.
You know... We don't walk around with handhelds all the time. Yeah, there are people that take public transportation that use handhelds because that's the best way to game for them, because they're on public transportation. But people that drive to go to work, people that go to school, all that shit, no one's using handhelds. Everyone's using an iPad or a fucking iPhone now. So the only... And no one's going to buy a five-year-old... that's a stupid fucking answer because there are 5-year-olds with iPads. But, like, would you rather give your kid a $700 or a $600 iPad or $200 Vita?
Vita.
Yeah. No, you make a really good point that a lot of the games are more geared towards adults. They do need to make some games geared towards children. But they also...
Like, could you imagine, like, a touchscreen Skylanders for that shit?
Oh, it would sell.
It would sell that shit. It would sell. Skylanders will fucking sell that shit like hotcakes. And you get, like, a bundle, like a Skylanders Vita. And you put little dragons on the fucking back of the Vita or some shit. Kids go nuts. They go fucking nuts.
They also need to not make it multi-console. I mean, you know, they had some games that, you were saying, that were Vita specific. They had Assassin's Creed Liberation, and they had Batman Blackgate.
Blackgate sucked dick.
And then they turn around and you know, 6 months, 9 months down the road, maybe a year. And they go, hey, look, here's the Ultimate Edition. You can buy it on the PSN and play it on your PS3. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I understand that you're trying to get this game that was Vita only to the people who don't have a Vita. But if most people that are Sony anyway, well, no, that's a bad point, because if you don't have it, you're going to play. But it's just, you killed your handheld because you took your...
One of your top sellers, you cut it.
You took your, console-specific only game, and then now you're giving it to the masses so they can experience because they're griping. If you want to play it, buy the small system.
You'll never see Luigi's Mansion on, like, the Wii U.
No, you know,
Actually, no, wasn't there a Luigi's Mansion?
No, Luigi's Mansion.
No, it was on the GameCube.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion was GameCube. Right. Luigi's Mansion 2...
Two.
They made just for the 3DS.
Yeah. You're never going to find a 3DS game that's on any of the higher consoles, unless it's like Ubisoft or some shit like that.
Well, no. Super Smash Brothers, the new Smash Brothers is on both systems.
Yeah, but they're not cross-compatible. Are they?
I doubt that. Nintendo hasn't done anything like that.
I mean, the thing is with Smash Brothers, though, is like, is it gonna really be the same game? Because the Liberation game, that was only the same game.
I think there are stages specific to the 3DS and to the Wii U, obviously. So you're gonna get different stages. I think the characters, like the roster, as far as
the roster
goes,
might be
the same.
Yeah,
and
the roster's
the
same. But then again, you have to remember too. Like, you gotta remember the 3DS does not look anything like the Wii U. Like, it has to be, like, a totally refunctioned game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a 2DS, and 2DS is the same graphics as 3DS, and the game looks, you know... 3DS has really good graphics.
Yes.
But it's not, like... It's not going to be like the Wii U. It's not going to be, like, you know, 3D type shit. Well, technically not 3D.
Yeah. All right, well, fellas, I'm gonna call it and say we gotta move on to some Walking Dead.
To actual topics?
Yeah, to some Walking Dead, and you know what? I will say that the derailment parts of this show, like, you can hear this news a lot of other places, but it's the derailment parts of this show where we kind of go nuts. Like, I think that's the best part, so we will never apologize for that, sir.
No.
But, so it's been announced that Zen Studios, they make all those pinball games there where they... Pinball FX and Zen Pinball, where they put, like, say, the Star Wars tables in there, or Plants vs. Zombies table. They are going to have Walking Dead tables in Pinball FX based on Telltale Games Walking Dead. And so you're going to see, like, certain levels or areas from the series, like Clementine's Treehouse, Everett's the pharmacy in Macon, the streets of Savannah, Georgia, with just tons and tons of walkers, and they're working with Telltale Games to get it done. But the interesting part is they talk about how it's going to be choice-driven gameplay. They will have voice acting by the series' original cast, which is really, really cool, but they're going to have choice-driven gameplay where you will decide who will live and who will die. You've got to keep morale high within the group. All in a pinball game, I don't really understand, like, how that's possible, because I've played, like, the Marvel Studios pinball games that Zen did, and, like, you're just hitting flippers and making and hitting high scores. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just short-sighted. But do you guys see any possible way that they could do choice-driven gameplay in a pinball game?
I'm sure there is. Because, I mean, I've played some of the Star Wars tables. You know, granted, it's just a demo. But there are different, like, I think it was the Empire Strikes Back table. There are different scenes that, you know, you have to hit, you know, certain things on the table, and then you can pick a scene. And then when you pick that scene, then you're given a kind of like a task to do. So I'm sure there is a way that you can do something like that where, you know, you're progressing along on the table, you hit certain things, and then all of a sudden, boom, here is this choice. And now you must choose this. And as you go along, if you don't lose all your balls in the game, you know, you keep running your score up, and then you keep, you know, you hit this set of targets, and it opens up now the next part of the story. I'm sure that you could do that. I don't see how they can do it that if your game, you know, you lose all of the balls and the game's over, how you can pick back up and then keep going. Because your score would be low.
Maybe I just kind of want a more traditional, where it's like, you know what, if you want to have a table based on The Walking Dead, fantastic. You know, make it all pretty and nice and have, like, little aesthetic nods to The Walking Dead and have some characters in there. But don't sit here and tell me that I can make choices through a pinball game. You know, I mean, the real hook of a pinball game is that, and maybe I'm wrong for kind of poo-pooing on the development or the moving forward to the advancement, I guess, of pinball tables, but I kind of want my pinball tables traditional. Like, I want them old school, because the score aspect of it, where you're going against your friends for score, is a nice hook. And I just think that putting out there, it's like, you know, choice-driven gameplay, I think it's only going to go end up just disappointing. Like, maybe, you know, people can have expectations for pinball games, so maybe I'm just kind of like, I don't know how to say it, but, you know, maybe people's expectations for a pinball game are wound enough where even, you know, that they can handle it. I just think that pinball games should be more traditional. They should be simpler. Don't add all these little bells and whistles. Don't add, like, feathers and all this crap. Don't make it all super shiny and say, we've got all these features. It's a fucking pinball game. Just make a pinball game where I can score a lot of shit. In that minute rant that I just did, not really a rant, but in that minute, did I make any sense at all, Yield?
Yes. Yes, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I
kind of had to backtrack a little bit and, like, go back, because I started an idea and then I lost it. But my point is, it's just like, pinball games have been around for decades, and we never needed all this flash and flair. I just want a pinball game. Like, I don't want to have to make choices.
Yeah, I like bells and whistles and high scores. You know, that's what I like. I mean the Star Wars thing where you had the little extra where, you know, a stormtrooper or Vader all of a sudden would show up and mess with your ball, you know, on the console versions. You know, that's cool. I kind of like that little touch, because that's something you're not going to get playing, you know, a your traditional pinball machine. But yeah, I'm kind of like you in the sense I'm intrigued by the story driven pinball machine. But yeah, I just want to be able to sit down when you don't have a lot of time or you have no idea what you want to do. I just want to sit down and go for a high score and just enjoy.
So, like, I'm assuming, Stash, that with the Walking Dead, like, how they're going to have those, as they say, the choice-driven gameplay where you get to pick who lives and who dies within a pinball game. Like, I'm assuming you're not down with that. Like, you're skeptical.
It sounds dumb. It sounds like pinball is such an old-school fun time. Why fuck it up with more shit?
Stash agrees with me. Okay, yes, I did make sense. I'm glad.
Like, pinball is like a classic. And you're going to, like, make choices in the game that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Stash has kind of reinvigorated me here, and I've kind of found my way a little bit with this argument. And I feel like, essentially, you're making decisions, but it's kind of like you're playing The Walking Dead, but just instead of making decisions with, like, picking a sentence or a path with a controller, you're hitting a ball to make decisions. It's kind of like the same kind of idea within a different format, that it shouldn't really be put into.
I just don't think that you could honestly make that work. Like, because you're never really going to know exactly where the pinball is going to hit. So how the fuck are you know you're going to make the right choice that you want to make?
Yeah, you can't be exact with it. No,
you can't be exact, so yeah. Why even make the choice?
All right. Well, it seems like Stash coming in like a phoenix, giving some fire to my argument, my side. So, all right. Well, this is going to be our last topic for the day. Mortal Kombat X, which I can only assume means Mortal Kombat 10 in a slightly more clever way, like Jason X sounds better than Jason in space. So, Mortal Kombat X has been announced. It's coming out next year. And the teaser trailer, I don't know if you guys watch it, but it's basically a fight in a forest between Scorpion and Sub-Zero. And beautiful, fantastically done trailer. It's phenomenal. They show off a few things in there. They show off some X-ray attacks. It's kind of like, I don't think it's in engine gameplay, is
no,
it?
No, it is.
Okay, so it's in-engine gameplay.
Some of it is.
But it's dressed up a little bit. It's some of it's CGI.
Like you know, like obviously the part where he like does all the shit with the head, that's like a fatality. That's like in game.
Well, in the X-ray, like they show like the organs like pumping like with a lot more detail than they did in like say the intestines in the first game, because he also kicks at his knee and it's like it's a lot better looking than it was in the first game in the Mortal Kombat reboot.
I think that will be there. I just don't think it'll be a close up like that.
Well, the trailer, like I said, it was really well done. It's just Scorpion and Sub-Zero fighting, but they show a few things. They show off, like, a fatality. They show off X-ray attacks. They also show off a few things that have been possibly new to the game, as well as stuff that's been brought back from older games. Like, you remember in Mortal Kombat Deception and Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance where they gave the characters weapons?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a part in the trailer where Scorpion or Sub-Zero picks up a sword. Like an ice sword. And so that would kind of give you the idea that the weapons for each character are going to be back.
There seems like there's going to be environmental weapons, too.
Yeah, because Scorpion rips a branch off a tree, turns it
to
ice, and then...
No, that's Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero rips a branch off the tree, freezes it, and punches, like, smacks Scorpion in the face with it.
Yeah, so they're taking environmental attacks a little bit, where before you could have, like, environmental fatalities and stuff like that, and now they're actually making the environment part of the fight, which is really cool. My only gripe with this, and you know, it seems like NetherRealm really reinvigorated the series after the reboot, which was 2011. I forgot that it was that long ago that it came out. It's going to be probably 4 years when Mortal Kombat X comes out. You know, NetherRealm has done fighting games so much, and so much of them has been put into Mortal Kombat that I understand that Warner wants to make a lot of money, and obviously Mortal Kombat is very profitable. I kind of want to see... I want to see them do something else besides Mortal Kombat. I'm sure Mortal Kombat X will be fun as hell. I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure the people will love it. I'm sure it'll sell really well. And this goes back to the... As I alluded to earlier, this goes back to the Uncharted, the Naughty Dog stuff. I want to see what else NetherRealm can do. Because they're obviously very talented developers. I kind of want to see them reach outside of fighting games. You know, I don't want to see another Injustice Gods Among Us. I want to see them do something else. Maybe they're happy doing Mortal Kombat games, and you know,
I mean,
if that's what they want.
Thing though, like NetherRealm is such like a, it's been a base studio like that for so long. I mean, what else are they gonna make?
I mean, you know, if they're happy making Mortal Kombat over and over, I definitely think that you know, hey, more power to them. Go and do what you love. I'm not going to sit here and be like, okay, well, you guys don't want to make these. You guys want to make this game, but I want you to make something else. So, I mean, if it's what they love to do, then why the hell not? Definitely do what you're passionate about. That's what I always try to do with myself, and always tell other people, just do what you're passionate about. So, if it's what they want to do, then hell, go for it.
Well,
there is part of me that yearns to see something else from them.
Yeah. You gotta remember too, like developers are usually their staff is built around building a certain game.
Yeah, yield.
So their staff just might be like huge fighters. Like they could just be a huge fighting game staff. You know.
Yeah. Yield. What are your thoughts on Mortal Kombat 10? Did you watch the trailer?
No, I wasn't able to watch the trailer. It when you said that they were going to be using, you know, adding environmental attacks into it, you know, it, the first thing I thought of was Injustice, you know, because Injustice had the set pieces, you know, hit button by this thing, and then, you know, whoever's there first, you know, gets that attack. I'm not a huge fighting game person because I just get my rear end handed to me, so.
I'm not really either. But
I did enjoy Injustice.
I think that is the way it is for most people, is that it seems like they're fighting games.
Unless you're a competitor, you don't really give a shit that much.
I mean, like, first-person shooters and fighting games can be those two genres that when you go online, if you don't play that game every day, you're just going to get your ass fucking kicked.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to play BlazBlue Continuum Shift Extended Edition.
You fucked up.
I tried to play that on Vita, and, like, I can barely get out of the tutorials because some of that shit, like, it gets so deep and so esoteric with, like, cancels and all this stuff. Like, I can't play it. And it, for me, it's just, it's hard for me to learn, like, memorize all those commands for one character, let alone a ton. Like, so, for me, fighting games have always been kind of hard to pick up on. Yes, I can play, get and play with friends and, like, learn a few combos here and there, but some of those games just get too deep, and I think that's
that
definitely...
That was always the one good thing about Mortal Kombat, though. Mortal Kombat was never really that deep. The combos weren't, like, insane.
And you could do things like cool things like fatalities and animalities without having, with very, very little button input. So, I mean, on one level, I think it's good for games to be, fighting games to be that deep. But, and maybe that's the reason that Mortal Kombat shines, is that it's not quite as deep as, say, a BlazBlue. But that kind of does deter me in some, as does getting my ass kicked online in Mortal Kombat. Because I tried to play Mortal Kombat online. I stood no chance. Like, there was no way in hell I was going to do anything in those fights.
Try playing Tekken online. You'll never want to play again.
I haven't played a game since Tekken 5, and I don't think that was, like, at least 5 years ago. So I think I'm done with Tekken myself. Loved it growing up.
Was I talking to you? I think it was after an episode of Trophy Horrors. I think it was me, you, and Donnie talking, and it was that Tekken online game that they came out with, remember?
Yeah, I think so. Donnie had played that. I had never played that, but I know Donnie did.
Me and him played. And me, I don't know, me and him didn't really think it was that great.
Weren't there some technical issues with it?
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, it was like free to play, but you also had to like put money in to get like certain things.
Alright. That's always nice. When you have to pay for things, extra money for things.
Yeah. Here's the free game. Oh, you want to unlock this move? Pay $1.
All right, so our question of the week is this week. I came up with it. I'm just curious. What is the most difficult game of the PS3 and 360 generation? Now, for this, it can be a game that you think, like, maybe it's not that hard on normal, but say if you try to complete it on the hardest difficulty setting, it's just near impossible, or maybe it's just hard as fuck on normal.
Well, obviously, Dark Souls, any of the Dark, like the Atlas games would be the hardest, I think.
Well, they got so many. Demon Souls was the first one, correct?
Yeah, Demon Souls was the first one. Demon Souls, so they Dark kinda, Souls, and they, Dark Souls 2.
Did they tone down Dark Souls because of Demon Souls?
Really. Not really. I mean, yeah, they did, but it wasn't, like, insanely toned down. Like, it was still hard as shit. The other games that I think would be, like, kind of hard, that were always really hard, was, like, the Devil May Cry games, if you played them on, like, Dante Must Die mode.
See, I got the Platinum in the DMC, the reboot done by Ninja Theory, and I got through all the difficulties without much trouble.
I guess it depends on how much you really play them. Like, I guess if you play every difficulty, like, scaling, you'll just get so good that it won't matter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you work your way up on the difficulties, it's better, because there's still a challenge there. Yes, I'm not going to say I blew through them, because I didn't. That'd be asinine. There's still a very strong challenge there in those games, but I made it, you know, I pushed through them, so... what about you?
I would say of the games that I've played of this generation, or the last generation, PS3... I would have to say that the first Star Wars Force Unleashed on Jedi was just really hard, and I worked my way up through the difficulties. And that one, some of the boss battles are just snap your controller frustrating. I mean, I got through it, I platinumed it, but whew.
No,
the only thing, you know, like with Uncharted, you know, the only thing with crushing is you die quicker, but everybody comes from the same kind of position. You have to learn, you know, it's just more duck and cover. But Star Wars written a lot of duck and cover.
Yeah, and for me, like, Dead Nation was a game that I thought was pretty hard. I don't think it's the hardest game of this generation, but I got a lot of frustration out of that game because I would die. Like, you know, I would die, and I've got to go through thousands of zombies, like hundreds or thousands of zombies in every level, and it's a good game, but I felt at times it was really hard. Haven't even tried the hardest difficulty yet, but on normal I thought that was a really challenging game. As you got to the harder difficulties, it's even harder. So I got frustrated quite a bit playing Dead Nation. The other one, I think, though, the hardest game that I played was probably Bayonetta. I got through it on normal, but when I tried to pump it up a little bit to hard, I couldn't get past, like, the first act.
Really?
And that game, I really enjoyed that game. The combat is fantastic with the witch time and slowing everything down. But for some reason, when I tried to pump up the level, the difficulty, it was just not happening. I stood no chance. So that to me was one of the hardest games that I played this generation. All right, and as always, if you all have a game that you think is particularly difficult, please let us know. Hit us up on Skype or, you know, call our number here. We'll get to our housekeeping here in a second, but call us and leave us a message, and we'll play it on the show. We want to hear what you guys have to say. So we don't have any listener emails or voicemails this week, or if we do, Tricky didn't tell me about them. So we're going to go on to our housekeeping, and unfortunately, we don't have Donnie here to do the all the little funny sounds and the little quips that he adds in here, but we'll try to make it interesting somewhat. As usual, Proven Gamer is looking for talented people. We're looking for writers, podcasters, video editors, and news reporters. So if you have a talent for that, it's something you like to do, let us know. There is a Help Wanted tab on the site, so you can go to provengamer.com and click the Help Wanted tab towards the top of the site. You can, of course, always, you know, hit us up on Twitter or email us. If you're interested in joining the site, our Twitter pages are I am at Sondasaurus Rex, Tricky Mick is at Tricky Mick, Donnie is at Yuntwist, I Yield to No One is at I Yield to No One, and Stash is at RC Stash. Is that correct, sir?
Mm-hmm.
I always ask you about that, and it's, I always ask you for your Twitter name, but for, but it's always the same name as your Skype, so I'll have to nail that down. Also, you can tweet at Trophy Whores and at Proven Gamer. You can also go to the Proven Gamer official Facebook page. We're also on YouTube. See all the videos. I don't know how many videos we posted recently, but you can go on there and find some of Donnie's old movie reviews. And essentially what I've garnered from watching Donnie's movie reviews is whatever Donnie says about a movie, do the exact opposite. We've had that joke going ever since Donnie gave Gravity a bad review. So watch those at your own risk. But, you know, we've also got some videos up there, gameplay footage, Let's Plays, all that kind of stuff. If you like Trophy Horse, hopefully you do. You made it this far, at least. You can listen to our other podcast, PG Spoilers. I don't know what our next episode is going to be. I think we're going to do
E3.
Something on, the E3 Sony press conference. We'll be talking about that. So look forward to that. I don't imagine it'll be out. Might have to wait a week or so, but I know we're recording it on Monday, so look for that coming soon. You can also, ways to listen to us. We're on iTunes. You can also listen to us on Stitcher, and of course, you can listen to us on provengamer.com, the website. If you want to call us, leave a message for us, answer our question of the week, just give us shit in general. You can call us at 330-PROVEN9. 330-776-8369. And before we get to our shoutouts, as usual, we've got a sponsor. Yield, can I get you to Can I get you to do a little Donnie impersonation for us?
To do my inner Donnie?
Release the inner Donnie.
Okay. I'm not going to hit the high note. I'm going to change it up.
You know what, man? I've been talking way too much this episode as the host, and I think people are tired of my voice, so I think it'd be good for them to hear Yields Donnie.
Okay. Amazon.
Oh, you had a little...
No.
I didn't hit that high note. I'm sorry.
You had a little bit of bass in there. Yeah, but...
Yeah, it's Amazon!
All right. So stash with our Amazon there, our Donnie Amazon. Basically, the way it works is we're sponsored by Amazon. There is a link to Amazon on the Proven Gamer front page. It helps us out. It's really a little step out of your way. If you shop on Amazon, go to ProvenGamer.com first. Click on that link. It'll take you right to Amazon. You can do your shopping. Helps us out. Not much effort from you, so we do certainly appreciate that. And to show our appreciations for people, we're going to do some shout-outs now. We'll let the guest go first and see if Stash has anyone he'd like to holler at.
Not really. Shout out to you guys for having me on the show. That's pretty much it.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate
you. I don't really have
you.
Too much thanks on the social medias.
On such short notice, thank you, sir, for putting up with us. Yield, do you have any shout outs?
Yes. I'll give a shout out to Stash for filling in on such short notice. A shout out to Donnie and Tricky, who are missing this week. Shout out to the guys for the playing archery tag this week. That was really fun, and would love to do it again. Even would love to get some of the equipment and just practice locally. And I also got a shout out to Hybrid CR. I made a tweet earlier last week about sinus colds suck donkey balls because I had one. And like a few minutes later, they tweeted back to me going, "Metaphorically true, then you will certainly like our anti-donkey balls antidote." So I
think they're sitting on a... They better trademark that. I think they're sitting on a gold mine.
So do I. I found that rather funny and kind of cool because I didn't hashtag it at all. So that was pretty cool. And shout out to the listeners for listening.
Yes, always want to thank the listeners, because without the listeners, we would not be here doing this. Well, we would, but we'd look like idiots, because we'd have no one recording or downloading the show and just be talking to ourselves. So definitely want to thank the listeners. Thank, again, RC Stash for coming on short notice and being such a good sport and doing an awesome job. Send a shout-out to Tricky and Donnie, who could not be here this week, except in spirit. They keep us going, so... thank you to those guys, and give a shout-out. I mentioned it before, you know, even though Yield had a fantastic weekend with his murder tag or whatever it's called, I did have a good time, an awesome time bowling on Friday. You know, my thing about bowling is I'm not very good at it, but I can still have fun, especially because booze is involved. But had fun bowling on Friday. My goal is always to get past 100. Landed my first two games, I got 97, so... I missed it just barely. I was kind of jinxed that night, but I did have a fun time with my friends Sam, Phil, and Susan. So thank you to you, to the three of you, for an awesome night. And then I mentioned, gave this shout out before, but it got erased because we scrapped an episode. A shout out to my friend Allie for listening to the show, giving us some good feedback. She's not a fan of video games at all. She didn't play them at all, but she sat down and she listened to the show. She made it through the entire show and she really enjoyed it. So. As always, I take great pride, or I really appreciate when my friends take an interest in the things that I do. So, shout out to Allie as well. So, yeah, I think that's going to bring us to the end of episode 161 of the Trophy Horse Show. And be back next week, probably with a different lineup of people. But as always, we hopefully going to bring the funny, the news, and the absurd, because that's what we do best, is the absurd bullshit. So, for now... happy trophy hunting, and we'll see y'all later.
Peace out.
Check it. You done made it to another one.
Replay.
I'll download another one.
Continue your horde.
Or you can go and do a Tricky Man and
shop it.
However you do it. Just look at the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again and listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.